Yeah, that's my honey. Yeah, she can sing. She can sing. What a blessing. And we all need that. We all find ourselves just kind of messed up, broken up, and weary, and wounded, and sad, and discouraged. And the devil will tell us we're too low to praise him. But don't matter where you are, you can praise him from where you are. Amen. And sometimes it's the praise that will lift you out from where you are. And we certainly thank the Lord. Let's give God the praise for all of the music today. What a blessing. God's help. Amen. Philippians chapter 1. We just might finish. We might get our way through this theme we've been preaching for weeks and weeks since the beginning of the year. And our theme for 2024 is, talk to me one more time, more and more. And if it's true and if it's happening, you further along in your walk with God this week than you were last week. Amen. More and more. God help us. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were such good talkers. They had all that talk about how good they were and what they tithed and what they did and what they wore and where they went and all their rules, and all, but they were bad walkers. God help us in this building to not just be talkers, but to be some walkers. We can't be saying it every week if we're not going to do it. Now we don't just want a theme to look good on the screens. We want a theme to live good in the members. More and more. For context, verse number 8. God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet what? In knowledge and in all what? Judgment. Yes, keep on going, that you may approve things that are what? Excellent. Uh-huh. That you may be what? And without, until when? The day of, which has not come yet, because we're saved and still here. Day of Christ is when we're out of here. By the way, this is not the message, but if you're turning on the news like I am, you're looking at the internet like I am, and you're watching what's going on in Israel and Iran and over the Middle East, and you're looking at Ezekiel and Daniel and Gog and Magog and talking about the Middle East and what's happening over there and with what's happening with God's chosen people. And listen, we make no bones about it. Let's pray that America stays on the right side of things. Amen. God is for Israel, and we need to be too. Amen. You got quiet like I said something you didn't know what I'm talking about. I said God is for Israel, and we need to be too. You can get in the way of God if you want to. Not me. And so let's pray that we do right. Amen. I read Revelation, I read Ezekiel, I read Daniel, and I read with a scrutinizing eye, and it is hard for me to locate United States of America in the prophecy. So I don't know what happens, whether we've dissolved by then. I know that some of the prophecy, whether or not America is involved, does not pertain to me, because I'm going to be in heaven. But some people you and I love will be here unless we do a better job of getting Jesus to them before the trumpet sounds. Somebody help me now. I ain't going to shout during all this music and then get quiet now. This is the main course. Where was I? So now we're in verse what? So those of you that said verse 10, you were setting me up. I would have reread the same thing, and then they'd be like, it must be a COVID moment. He read the same verse again. Setups over there, just setups. A security team, keep an eye on those folks over there. They're setting the fruits up. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by whom? Unto what? There's a message there. Hope I can get to it. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to your word. Cleanse me, empty me, fill me. I want to help people. I want to help your people. This is not a slot for me to look smart, for me to sound good, for me to lecture people that are not performing properly as if I've mastered everything in the Word. This is the time to give the Word of God so it can help people. from the youngest child to the oldest seasoned saint and everyone in between, might all of us leave this building better equipped to serve God than we were when we came. Now for the sinner man, the sinner woman, the sinner boy, sinner girl who's lost without Jesus and headed to a devil's hell, might that one get something in this service that will last for eternity? That's a new name written down in glory. Might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth? Bind the devil, keep him from hindering what's happening, and do what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as we've been dealing with the subject of more and more. We've worked our way through this text from verse number 1 all the way up to where we are finishing in verse number 11. The last section that we've been dealing with, more and more, pertains to increasing growth. Would you say that with me? Increasing growth. One more time. Increasing growth. Now listen. God did not just save you to keep you out of hell. If that were his only reason for saving you, you'd have gone straight to heaven when he did. The fact that he left you here means that just escaping hell does not exhaust God's entire purpose for saving you. God left you here because he wants your life to be a reflection of his life. Galatians 2:20, great verse in the Bible. I believe it's my daddy's life verse, says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? I'm dead, but I'm alive. I'm crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead, yet I live. Now listen to me. If my life is dead and yet my life is alive, I must be borrowing the life of someone to supplement the life that I no longer have of my own. See, I'm dead to myself, but I'm alive. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen to me. The life of the believer is not supposed to be you doing what you want to do, you going where you want to go, you saying what you want to say, you acting how you want to act, you living how you want. No. You're supposed to be dead. See, when you die, it's the life of Christ that's living in you. See, the problem is we're letting this dead man do too much stuff. And we're not letting the life of Christ flow through us. And by the way, anything that flows can be limited in its flow because it's clogged up. And I wonder if there's some Christians that are clogging up the Christ flow. They're not being what they ought to be, and God doesn't have clean passage to work his way through us and shine through us to a lost and dying world. So this increasing growth that Paul is talking about, remind you, Paul is writing to the Philippians from where? From jail, yeah. He's writing from jail about joy, Joy is not a common theme in jail. How do you get joy and jail in the same sentence? You get Jesus in the middle, amen? So I can have joy in jail if I have Jesus. By the way, jail is not the only place you can have joy. You can have joy in sorrow with Jesus in the middle. You can have joy when others die when Jesus. You can have joy when you broke if Jesus. You can have joy when you have bad health if when Jesus is in the middle. You can have joy anytime because your joy is not based on your circumstances. It's based on Christ. So Paul says, I'm writing on joy and I'm writing to the church at Philippi. He planted this church. He went to this region of the world. He started a church. He spent time there, and now he's away from that church. He's gotten locked up for doing what's right, and he's writing back to this church with whom he has an intimate relationship. He says later in chapter number 4 of Philippians that no other church gave to him. Paul was a missionary. He went from place to place telling people about Jesus, and in order to do it, he needed people to help him financially. He said Philippi, this church that he's writing to, was the only church that gave to him so that he could go out and preach the gospel. So they were dear to him. So he, listen, if they wanted the best for him, he wanted the best for them. By the way, any man that's preaching to a church ought to want God's best for that church. Now listen, I don't understand these pastors that will manipulate their members and lord over their members or take their members for granted or mistreat them or swindle things out of them. Listen, if you love somebody, then you want the best for that somebody. And so as I sit here today challenging the people of God, the members of Crossroads Baptist Church, and those of you that are not members, those of you tuning in, those of you that look at this message later on down the road and see this, wherever you are, from where I am to where you are, the best thing I know that can help you as a believer is to take this book that is alive. Somebody say amen. Aren't you glad we don't serve a dead Savior and we don't read a dead Bible? Amen. It's alive. That means it's relevant. The only way a book can be written way back then and relevant right now is it has to be written by a very smart author. Amen. And God was wise enough to write something back then that he knew would work right now. There's never a danger in that which is absolute ever becoming irrelevant. Some of you have to think about that to see what it means. Listen, if it's absolute, that means it never changes. And if it never changes, that means it's always going to work. So there's a lot of laws and fads and trends and words. You know, I'm finding out from these young people what these, you know, they got new words. You hear somebody say something, you look up at the dictionary, not what they're talking about. I mean, just all these kind of new words you try to keep up with. And some of these words they think are new were around 30 years ago, and now they've come back around again. See, vocabulary colloquially changes. But listen to me, absolutes do not change. There may be a word next year to come out that wasn't out this year, but I guarantee you this word right here will just be as good as next year as it is right now because it was written by a timeless author. So Paul said, you got to grow. You got to grow. Philippians, I'm telling you from jail, you got to grow. You need to grow. That's my specific desire for you. He said, I pray that, verse number 9, and that growth will bring about scriptural depth in you. Verse number 9, that you grow more and more in knowledge. The more you grow in the Lord, you begin to have some depth about the knowledge of God. The more you get to know, don't tell me you're growing in God, you don't know anything else about God. Don't tell me you're growing, you don't read your Bible. You're growing. You're not learning any spiritual truths. What do you mean? You're growing in. You're learning IT. You're learning. You know. You're gaining a six pack. You know. Your finances are being more stable, and you got a nice car, and you've got more wealth, and you've paid off your debt. Nothing wrong with that. But child of God, if you're growing in the Lord, you ought to know more of this Bible. Amen. Scriptural depth, sensible discernment. Look at it. And in all judgment. With spiritual growth comes judgment. My soul, how in the world do you think you're going to make it in that crazy world with no judgment? Amen. Judgment. Judgment. Judgment is not just the ability to discern between right and wrong. It's the ability to discern between better and best. Amen. And I need judgment because the older you get and the longer you live, the more liability that comes with bad decisions. Amen. Amen. All of you kids that want to be grown, we wish we could be young. You know, everybody wants to be grown. I want to be grown. I can't wait till I get my own car. With your own car means your own payments. With your own payments means your own insurance. With your own insurance means when you wreck it, you got to fix it. With owning it means, I wish I could have my own house. Yeah, when you're renting and the dryer breaks, you call the landlord. When you're owning and the dryer breaks, you call on Jesus. All right. So the more you get, the more liability you have. Okay, I want my own license. With a license comes requirement. Listen, you don't have a license, you don't get a ticket, you know. You all these kind of things. Listen, all of these things come with responsibility. And so I need discernment. I want to get married. Once you get married, you're concerned about two people instead of one person. I want kids. Once you have kids and you're responsible for somebody else's livelihood, I want more kids. Once you have more kids, it's more money. Have you checked the cost of diapers? You have to go to school to learn how to buckle these car seats. I mean, we had them just gonna bap, bap, boom. Now all of a sudden you got a string, a knob, a button, a remote control, a YouTube video, how to buckle your child up. I mean, good gracious alive. You sure you won't have kids? All right. I mean, these are all, you need discernment. You need discernment to father a child. You need discernment to be the wife to a husband. You need discernment to be the leader of your home. Amen. You need discernment to have a job. You need discernment to go off to school when mom and daddy ain't getting you up. College professor will flunk you and don't even know you. You need discernment. And it's so important. Listen, that's what growth does. Sound discretion. Look at verse number, I need to move. Sound discretion. Approving things that are excellent. Do you find yourself amassing things in your space that are not good for you? I said in your space, wherever that is, wherever you tell people to stay out of my space. Some people don't want anybody in their space because they're too crowded in their space with too much junk. And the reason is, how many of you have a habit of ordering everything you see on TV? Don't raise your hand. Some of you spouses are pointing at your spouse. Didn't it look so good when they were talking about it? Wasn't that infomercial so convincing? Didn't it look like that thing was going to work? And then you ordered it. It was no good. It was a bunch of trash. They made a bunch of promises. It didn't break when you used it. It broke when you took it out the box, all right? And so now all of a sudden you've got a bunch of junk in your life. And the reason why you have a bunch of junk in your life is because you don't have the discretion to approve things that are excellent. What are excellent friends? What is excellent music? What are excellent weekend activities? Some of you are struggling this morning because you went somewhere last night that wasn't excellent. And now you're trying to get goodness from God and you're just struggling. You can't receive church today because you took too much non-excellence this weekend. We need discernment and discretion. God help us to be able to have attention to hear from God that we've not used up on the devil. Discretion. You have a TV? I know preachers take a TV up on the platform. I won't say they're my friends. Well, they're my associates. They put me up to stay sometimes in prophets' chambers. They need to get rid of them. Some of them are just like the original one that Elijah slept in. Ain't nothing but a bed, a table, and a candlestick. And I've stayed in one of them things on a Monday night when the Cowboys were playing a big game and the preacher said, yeah, we got a prophet's table. It's nice. Most of them are a donation of all of the furniture that nobody wants in the church. And some of it was donated about 25 years ago. But some of them have any TVs in them. And it's always interesting to me that I say to the pastor, do you have a TV? Yes, I do. You can watch the game at my house. So why do you have one? And I don't have one. By the way, a pastor you can't trust with a television certainly shouldn't be trusted with your pulpit. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can't afford to have a TV. And I'm not talking about financial, I'm talking about spiritual. You can't afford to own a television and have cable or satellite if you don't have discretion. Well, I need a TV. Pastor, I watch live stream Crossroads Baptist on my big screen TV. That's not the problem. It's everything else you watch after it. Whenever a sitcom has one homosexual on it, when the display of rebellion and insubordination is demonstrated in the homes, these two daddy and two mama homes that are being displayed, we're not trying to be belligerent, we don't want this church to be somewhere we hate anybody, but I'm just trying to tell you, when God set it up, he didn't make a mistake, and he didn't intend for mankind to change what he's done. He's intended for a husband and a wife to love each other and to have children, and when the television begins to display that which is contrary to God's word, you need enough discernment to turn this channel. To mute your television, to guard your children against nonsense. Amen. Social media, you have discretion? Amen. Some pastors say they don't need it. We're going to go out to eat. We don't go anywhere that serves alcohol. You're entitled to have any preference or standard you want to have. You just can't demand everybody else have it. Just make sure you don't start a standard that's too fast for you to keep up with yourself. Because I've known them, they won't eat at restaurants with alcohol, but they shop at grocery stores to sell them. I'm just saying, I go to the grocery store, they sell alcohol, I just don't buy it. Now I don't go to the ABC store. I've seen a couple of y'all coming out of there. But you didn't see me. I was in Giant. He was out there just walking fast and whistling. Right up there, Landmark Plaza, right next to my house. ABC, so just walking fast. Happy in the devil. And then one of the ladies, she was too dignified to do that. She down a few little doors at Total Wine. Same shopping center. You better find a different one to go to, not the one by my house. You are quickly becoming sermon content. I didn't see y'all coming out of there. I didn't. I didn't. But if I did, I'd tell you. Right now. Amen. Do you want to live without discretion? Let's get the next one. Sincere devotion. That you may be sincere. I can deal with just about anything but a phony. Hypocrisy has not become an aberration, it's become average. I think sometimes the hypocrisy has become so convenient because we major on the externals. We focus on so much that's impressive. We dress up the image. We practice on stage presence. We work on everything that everyone sees, and we're out of time when it comes to work on what only God sees. We're bent towards image and oblivious when it comes to integrity. Well, but Paul said, if you're growing, Philippi, with growth comes sincerity. So you don't have to tell yourself to be real when you come to church. You just walk with God, and realness comes as a package. Sincere, sincere, sincere. Well, I'm telling you, serve God. If you're going to serve God because you want to. Sing because you want to. Don't wave your hand because he said put your hand up. Wave your hand because God's been good to you. Don't sing because the word's on the screen. Sing because God put a song in your heart. Don't clap because that's what we do after the song. Clap because you know that God's worthy of our praise. Don't show up at church so nobody calls you and asks where you were. Show up at church because you love the King of Kings. Don't read this book so you can check it off your look. Read this book because you want to hear from Almighty God. Don't give because you worried about the secretary seeing your giving. Give because God's been too good to you to rob God. I'm saying, may there be something that just can't stay down. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord is, I'm just saying, turn in your fake card and be real. Sustained distinction without offense till the day of Christ. Offense. The connotation of the word offense, Jesus said in John chapter 6 after he had preached to those that he had fed. Pause for a moment. It's amazing how needy people tend to be demanding simultaneously. We so hungry, we so hungry, we so hungry. Come here, boy. Come see your lunch. It didn't quite happen like that. Andrew brought the lad to Jesus. Let me not be extra biblical. There is a lad here. He had 5 loaves. He didn't say, come here, boy, let me see your lunch. Some of y'all go home and say, I don't know. Was that in John 6? There was a lad. There's a lad here, Andrew says. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus fed the 5,000 beside women and children. They were cool with him when he was feeding their hungry bodies, but they were angry with him when he was feeding their lost souls. More baskets left over than the little bag that the boy started with. You know that's a God thing. When you got more leftovers than you had at the beginning, that's a miracle. Then he says, now that I fed you physically, let me feed you spiritually. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead because manna can't keep you alive. But I'm about to feed you something that will never let you die. I am the bread of life. John 6:6:6. That's the text. John 6:6:6. Many left him. I guess we should expect the verse not to be that good when it's 6:6:6, huh? Many departed from him that day, saying this is a hard saying. Theologians tell us there could have been 15 to 20,000 people because the Bible said he fed 5,000 men. So if you add in the women and children, there could have been 15 to 20,000 people. Do you realize that those same people that thought he was all that, when he multiplied a little boy's lunch and fed them till they were full, dipped on him, and his crowd of anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 shrank down to 12. And one of the statements he said in John 6 was, doth this offend you? Here's where we get the word. Doth this scandalize you? That's what it means. That's what the Greek word means. Does it scandalize you? An offense in Scripture is not you hurt my feelings, you didn't look at me right, I'm your friend and you didn't invite me to your function. That's not what offend means in Scripture. Offend means to cause to stumble. So practically speaking, to offend someone, biblically, practically speaking, literally speaking, would be if you were walking past me and I was sitting down on the front row, and as you were walking past me, trying to get down the middle aisle, I stuck my foot out and tripped you. I offended you because I impeded your progress by slowing you down, causing you. Somebody help me preach now. Here's what Paul says from a prison cell to them Christian folks that were saved by the grace of God and dwelt by the Holy Ghost of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, free ticket into heaven, been commissioned by God to reach the world. He said, when you're growing, you are living a Christian life sustained in distinctions until Jesus comes that does not make a habit of causing other people to stumble. So this is what I'm asking you. Are you going to live your Christian life parading your rights? There's nothing in the Bible that said I can't do that. You show me a verse that says thou shalt not buy a lottery ticket. You show me a verse that says I shall not taste an alcoholic beverage. And by the way, I think I can. Proverbs said, look not upon it when it moveth itself aright. He didn't just say don't drink it. He said don't even look at it. That ought to be enough to quit you. But just questions like that. You tell me it's wrong for me to do that. No. Can I ask you a question? If you're a child of God, are you going to spend all your time having someone convince you that it's blatantly wrong? Or are you going to ask yourself, do I want to be doing that or drinking that or smoking that or acting like that and cause somebody else who got saved out of that to go back to it because there's a confusion and a contradiction in my spiritual liberty, that instead of using it as liberty to serve God, I'm using it as license to cause one to stumble. And there's a fine line between liberty and license. Preach, Pastor. Who you have tripping? Who have you caused to trip? With your saved self. A joke? An invite? An attitude? A behavior? A use of liberty? When we lose our difference, watch this now. When we fail to be different, we fail to make a difference. I'm not telling you to be a weirdo. Some people think if you're saved, you got to be weird. You can't wear anything nice. You can't drive anything nice. You don't know how to. All you know is Bible verses. That's not true. You don't have to be weird. But some people go to the other end. To avoid being weird, they end up being worldly. You have to be distinction, ladies and gentlemen. And here's separation in the Scripture. It's not just separation from the world, it's separation unto God. See, separation for the believer is that I'm separated towards Jesus. I don't have to just concentrate on being different than the world. If I'm like him, I'll always be different than them. But if I'm only different from them, do you realize it is possible to be different than the world and still be distant from the Lord? Because the world changes, and the world's so bad, the world can be here, and you can be here, but God may be here. But I tell you what, if the world is anywhere, and you're with God, I guarantee you, you won't be anywhere near the world. Saturated description. I got to get done. At least let me give you this last one. I'll do the last two, the next two next week, and then we'll be ready for Mother's Day. Amen. Can't preach on this on Mother's Day. We got to talk about the women, and it's got to all be about them. We'll preach on hats on Mother's Day. I got a lot of studying to do.
Look at the saturated description of a growing Christian. How do you describe a growing Christian? Verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Hallelujah. What are you full of? That's what he's saying. What, child of God, what are you full of? It's a shame that some of the people that we know that are full of the most nonsense are saved people. Some of the people we know that are full of the most nonsense are saved people. Listen, we're supposed to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Watch this now. That means the dominant characterization of a child of God should be doing right. That's how I take the interpretation of Scripture, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. It's counterintuitive to drive past a pear tree that has a bunch of bananas on it. That's not what it is. And it's counterintuitive, counterproductive, illogical, unnatural, nonsensical for a child of God to be demonstrative of wrong behavior. This is what, until Jesus comes, oh man, he's coming soon. I can't wait. I can feel it. I can feel it. Somewhere in heaven, somebody's got to be warming up a trumpet. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you. When he comes, I'm not going down. I'm going up. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Present, here, accounted for. I'm here. I can't wait. There are a lot of things that make me nervous. I don't like birds. I don't like cats. I don't like heights. But I'm not worried about dying. And I'm not worried about what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality. And this corruption shall put on incorruption. Then shall the saying be brought to light. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody give God the praise in the building this morning. But isn't it like God to take our emotions all the way up to the top? Mortal immortality, corruption, incorruption, death swallowed up in victory. Death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's our victory? Strength of sin is the law, and the sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God. Victory, 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 victory. He goes to 1 John chapter number 3. We know, we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everybody, woo, 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 woo. Then he gets to the end of the chapter and says, that's what you're going to be one day. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hold it. Since you're going to be like that one day, go ahead now, be like that today. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Since you're happy about what you're going to be when you get to heaven, get holy while you're down here on earth. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Ooh, 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 ooh. He's coming again. Oh, everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know, it's almost like God is teaching us in Scripture that the greatest motivation for holiness on earth is heaven up there. It is what I'm going to be one day that makes me striving to be like that today. Oh, my soul. Heavenly people ought to be holy people. God didn't save you to make you happy. He saved you to make you holy. And I don't know anybody happier than holy people. So today I asked you, what's your saturated description? What kind of fruit are you full of? God help us. It'll just be another 3 days or so if you're back on Wednesday night before we get together again. Another 7 if you're here next Sunday. Could I ask you a question? Between this Sunday and next Sunday, what kind of fruit you got? Being filled with the fruit. of righteousness. Hey, if that doesn't describe you, guess what? That doesn't either. So when we get to the end of the service and we say, make sure that what you're saying is what you're living. More and more what? Fruits of righteousness. Amen. 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 I didn't say it. He said it. And if he says it, that settles it. Amen. Let the church say amen. Father, help us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm going to heaven because I've accepted Christ as my Savior and I know it. Would you raise your hand? All over the building. God bless you. Put your hand down. Pastor, I'm going to heaven because God saved me and I know it. And the description of a growing Christian is what I want. It's what I desire. It's what I need. And the Holy Spirit of God has challenged my heart from God's word today. And I, with his help, want to do better. Would you slip your hand up? Come on. All over the building. Bless his holy name. Now, you make an altar in your seat, would you? Talk to God. And let's get practical with God. Some are getting up and coming to the altar. You can do it. You can come if you want to. You can kneel in your seat if you want to. I'm just telling you, talk to God about it. And I would suggest, to be ultra practical, to begin formulating in your mind what I can do to accomplish that. What do you need to change in your life? Get up earlier, go to bed sooner, change some friends, get a Bible reading plan, start discipleship, come to church more often, whatever. I'm talking about practical. We come on, y'all. We got to find ways to do what we've been taught. We can't come back every week in the same spot. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, you need to be scripturally baptized. Become a part of Crossroads Baptist Church. You're already a member somewhere else. You need help with transferring your membership. You present yourself. You head to the back of the sanctuary. We'll get one of our workers to talk with you. Hey, I believe that, and I can prove it in Scripture, that being a part of a sound, Bible-believing, local New Testament church will help you have more fruit of righteousness. If it's a good church, maybe you need to talk to one of us about that. Scriptural baptism, joining a church, being involved. I'm just saying, fix the areas that are prohibiting you from growing and implement ones that will help you. Yes. Last question. Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. I won't embarrass you or call your name out. I'd like to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. Please, thank you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. Would you slip your hand up? Let's get out. Brother Deacon Wright. Anyone else? We help this young man find out about Jesus. Thank God for his friend bringing him with him. Wave your hand, buddy. Bless your heart. What more can we give a child than Jesus? Bless his holy name.
You'll never bring anybody any better than bringing them to church to meet Jesus. God help us. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. We need more fruit. More fruit. Fruit of righteousness. That's what we want. We want this church, not, we want a growing church. It's a godly church. We want to look more like Jesus, sound more like Jesus. So that people see us, they see him. God help us. Make much of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. Isn't God's word good?